You're listening to Discovering Virginia on the Virginia Voice, and for the Virginia Voice, I'm Lou Dean. What you're about to hear is not a travelogue, it's not really an author interview, it's a story of people and places around the Commonwealth of Virginia. Columnist Bill Lohman, photographer Bob Brown, both of the Richmond Times-Dispatch, somehow talked the newspaper into paying them to travel around the state of Virginia and writing and photographing what and who they've seen, all the way from Tangier Island to the Valley of Virginia and beyond. The latest result is a book, Backroads, People, Places, and Pies from Around Virginia. Now, I've known Bob Brown for around 55 years. We met when he was with television. He's been with the newspapers. Bill Lohman is a feature writer at the Times-Dispatch, and they're both here in the studio. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thanks, Lou.
Well, thank you.
My wife and I traveled down to Southside, Virginia, and went into a place where you recommended pies. How the heck do you pick a place that has great pies?
You try to find a place that the pie is so good you order it before you order your dinner. And we've done that in the Hillsville Diner. We're in there one night, and we're having the fried chicken special, which is really super. And then we all night, you know, we're eating the chicken and the rolls and everything, and we're thinking about the pie. And it came time to order the pie, and they said, "I'm sorry, we're out." So the next time we went in there, we ordered the pie first.
And it's also good to go to places where they tell you that the little lady comes in at 6 a.m. to bake the pies
day.
So that always helps.
How do you pick the real mom-and-pop place where mom is really in the kitchen instead of a place that just kind of cookie-cutter?
Well, you kind of ask around.
People tell us.
Ask local people, where's a good place to eat? What's a good place to get local flavor? And so that's a good guide there.
Of course, there was one place on 58, somewhere down the southeast part of the state, that we went in for lunch, and everything on the menu was fried except the iced tea, and we were a little leery of that. That was a place. We didn't go back there.
Do you talk to each other on these trips? You're together.
Are you kidding?
Oh, my gosh.
24 hours a day. Yeah.
Well, he's deaf in one ear, so and he tries to keep that ear pointed toward me.
Well, as I tell him, I hear only half of what he says, and I ignore the rest. So,
Bill and Bob, you have been traveling together off and on through the years, writing essays about great places in Virginia to see. But describe the latest book.
It's called Backroads, as you said, People, Places, and Pie Around Virginia. And it's sort of a greatest hits. It's a lot of pictures and some text that I wrote about different people and places we've been. None of them are reprints from the paper. They're just sort of compilations of what we've done. But a lot of Bob's great pictures from our trips going back to 2002, I guess.
Yeah, right? When we did our 58 series. That was a scam of all, I mean, the trip of all times. And it was suggested by one of the editors. That's the only way we got away with it. He said, "Why don't you guys go out and do a story on Route 58, which runs from Virginia Beach, Cumberland Gap, longest road in the state, 608 miles or something like that, and do a story a week for 6 months." Oh, yeah, we can do that.
Well, no, I think he was envisioning four or five stories.
Yeah,
we gave him
a
story a week for 6 months.
Yeah, so. And we took a scouting mission before we actually started the series just to gather information and see what's out there and maybe make some contacts and
Describe that scouting mission, because I'm very curious how you find the right people to interview and take pictures of. Now, I know that you interview a lot of people and you use only the best, but nonetheless, how do you find these people and places?
Well, we were in Jonesville, and we asked one of the local guys, this is out in Lee County, and he said, where's a good place to eat around here? He said, well, no good place to eat around here. You go to Pennington. Yeah, and there's a place called Rooster's Pub. They got a pretty good lunch. So we go to Rooster's, and we're sitting there, and the decor is like early NASCAR. And we're sitting there having lunch, and the light coming through the window was beautiful. And it was hitting this girl, looked like she was about 13 years old, pouring beer, you know, from the tap.
The waitress.
Yeah, the waitress. And so I shot a picture because the light was just gorgeous. And so I walked up to her and I said, explained what we were doing, who we were and everything. And She said, oh, I thought you were taking my picture because I'm the quarterback of the football team. And I'm like, well, what? She's like, yeah. And I said, the high school? She said, no, no, I'm 23 years old. We have a women's football league down here, full contact, and we just finished our season. And I'm thinking, Bill, come over here.
Another story. Well, you know, the tone for that trip, you asked about what do we do when we go out. Well, we started that trip at Virginia Beach, the 58 series, and where Virginia Beach, where 58 hits the beach, it just looks like any other place along the boardwalk, just a road, and we were at a complete loss of how to start this series in an interesting way, so we're just kind of wandering around, and a few blocks up from where 58 hits the beach, there's the old Coast Guard Station Museum, which turns out is kind of a repository of local history and artifacts. We just kind of went in there on a lark, and we're telling them what we were doing, and saying, is there anything that's very significant about where 58 comes into the beachfront? And they said, well, talk to our director. And it was a fellow named Colonel Fielding Tyler, who's just a great character. And he said, I can help you. He said, you know, years ago, there was a stone monument right where 58 hits the beach, a monument to Daniel Boone. And we went, Daniel Boone, when was he at Virginia Beach? He said he never was, but there was a businessman who put these monuments around the southeast because he loved the Boone story and wanted to keep it alive. He said, you know, and we said, that's great. And he said, well, I said, it's not still there, is it? And he said, nah, they tore it down 30 years ago to build a Dairy Queen or something. He said, but we have pieces of it in the attic. So we went up there, and sure enough, he had pieces of the plaque, the Daniel Boone plaque, in a cardboard box in the attic. And in the attic of the old Coast Guard Station Museum was where we started our series on US 58 that went for 600 plus
miles.
And
we picked up a mascot there, too. The colonel had a, was it cast iron?
It was a cast iron bear that had been part of the Boone Monument.
Like, you know, 6-8 inches long. And he let us borrow that and take it the distance. And we photographed that bear at, you know, the Pork Fest in Emporia, you know, all the way to Cumberland Gap. And we would see other monuments, Daniel Boone markers along the road, and usually take a picture of the bear with that. And we got a key to the city of Lawrenceville, and the bear was in the picture.
Well, actually, the mayor presented the key to the bear.
Yeah, actually, he did, yeah. The key to the city of Lawrenceville doubles as a bottle opener.
And I still got it.
Bill Lohman, you write very incisive stories about wonderful people. You make them seem very wonderful. You get to the essence of people. And Bob Brown, your photographs tell stories all in one frame. And my hat is off to you. I don't know how you do it. I take pictures and I try to compose, and I come up with nothing like you come up with. I am a fan of your General Assembly pictures. Every now and then you catch a legislator with his finger up his nose.
That's a pick of the week.
Exactly. But if I were to drive Route 58 from Virginia Beach to Cumberland Gap, if I were to drive Route 11 down the Shenandoah Valley, I would drive it and not know that I should stop here because this is something well worth seeing. Now, do you stop and you just ask people what they feel is worth seeing, and then you keep asking more and more people as you go to those places?
There's some of that. Bill's a really good researcher. I mean, I just drive and push the button on the camera. He does all the research, and he says, hey, we need to go here. But, you know, occasionally I'll root out somebody.
Well, we do that, and I'll call around before we go and get a feel for what's in the area. And then inevitably, one person leads to two, leads to three, and then we end up, I always go out, and I guess most reporters do, you go out on things like that worried that you're going to have enough stuff, and I come back with way more than I can deal with, and the problem is what to throw out. And so it's amazing, especially in the kind of stuff we do when we go out in the hinterlands a little bit. People love where they live, and they're more than happy generally to direct you to something interesting and that sort of thing.
I would not have known that Route 11 potato chips welcomed visitors.
Yeah. Free samples.
Yeah, free samples.
Yeah, yeah. And that too.
And then some of them are real hot. But, I mean, what was it, last January, we managed an interview with Ralph Stanley in his home. And we also were going to do a story on Heartwood, which is in Abingdon, the big arts and music venue down there. And what was it, one or two other things that we had lined up? We spent, what was it, three nights.
But it takes a full day to get out of
there. Yeah, it was like three nights out. And we came back with seven stories. We ran into The guy at Draper Mercantile.
Oh, yeah.
The
yeah.
banjo player, who's a barber in Rural Retreat, and he filled us in on this historic train station they're trying to preserve there. So we made a side trip over there, and, I mean, that turned into a pretty good story. And plus, right across the track from the station is a diner that has the best peanut butter pie you've ever had. Meringue is like 3 inches thick.
Meringue on peanut butter pie?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's gilding a lily.
That's the kind of stuff we do. You know, I would say we always come back with more than we set out to do, or more than we can.
People, even if they're only armchair travelers, love to read and see your stuff. Give us some examples of some of the things you were particularly taken with along your journeys, not necessarily for the current book, but for all the times you've been working together.
Well, I guess it's the notion of going into places and not knowing what you're going to find and coming out with four stories or ideas or something. And like we were talking about, we were in the Hillsville Diner over in Hillsville one day.
That's great.
Back on the 58 series. And Hillsville sort of served as the Southwest Bureau for us on that trip because it seemed to be on our way to everywhere we were going. And the fellow who runs at Mac McPeak is just a great guy. It's an old style diner. It's literally a diner. It looks like a dining car from years ago from the 40s. And, we were in there. We wrote a piece on the diner and the locals had come in. It was just a nice little, you know, environmental piece there. And, we were sitting there one morning and this older fellow walked in, like a lot of the guys there, and Mac said, "This is the man you need to write a story about." And we said, "Really? Why is that?" And of course, everybody wants to tell you a story, and some stories are better than others, but you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings if it's not quite paper-worthy. And he says, "Well, Wilford here works down at the quarry just down the road here." And we went, "Wow, that's great." And he said, but he works 5 days a week, and he's in here every morning at 4:30 to have breakfast on his way to work. And we went, that's pretty interesting.
Operates a diesel shovel.
Yeah.
That's
pretty nice. And Mac clearly saw we weren't getting it. Mm-hmm. He said, "But he is 90 years old." And we said, "Okay, well, that might be a story then." And it was a good story.
So here we are at 4:30 in the morning outside the Hillsville Diner with Wilford, waiting for Mac to open the door and let us in so we can have breakfast and then go down to the quarry. And that was one of the coldest places outside of the Obama inauguration.
I think it was January, you know, and it was just bitter cold out there.
Oh,
Wilford, man. What a great guy. Here was a guy who by the time we did him 91 years, he was 91 because we went back a couple months later to the story. He had traveled around the country working this shovel for years. He had helped dig out the foundation of the Pentagon. He had helped dig the rocks that served as the base around
the Bay Bridge Tunnel.
Yeah. He had dug up the swamp where Disney World is. I mean, this guy had a great store, and he lived out, you know, 10 miles outside of Hillsville. Just the nicest guy. And he worked till he was about 95, I think, and then he had said he kept retiring, and it never did take, and he kept going back to work, and he finally, his health failed. I think he passed away at 96 or 7, but what a guy.
Well, what was the other guy down there? Shug?
Shug, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this guy's like 100 years old, and he walks from his house up to the diner, sits down, and has breakfast.
I think it was something in the water down there.
Yeah, I don't know. And, you know, we try to stock up on it while we're down there.
When you're on missions like this to write wonderful stories and travelogues, in a way, you're not the threatening reporter who's trying to dig up the dirt. Do people open up to you, or do they say, "Oh, he's a reporter"?
No, I mean, it's like you said, our mission is a little bit different. If we were covering the local government or something like that, it'd just be different. And that's, I mean, those stories are more important than what we do. But in our going out there the way we do, we are really non-threatening. I mean, we're just sort of trying to blend into the woodwork and talk to people.
We're more like Charles Kuralt than Dan Rather.
Bill, I think our listeners might disagree with you that your stories are not as important as others, because people are interested in things they can go and see for themselves. Daily government is important, but it fades. Interest period, maybe 10 minutes for a political story. Okay, now what else is new? But your stories of people and places are really timeless in a way. Some of these people you talk about may not be around forever, but well worth talking to and well worth seeing.
Well, I think that's the beauty of a newspaper. You know, as you know, it could be a whole philosophical argument as times change and the news business, but the newspaper has there's a place for all that sort of stuff. My kinds of stories, the government, the police work, the sports, business. I mean, that's what we try to do, and on a somewhat more limited basis than we used to. But that we try to provide a cross section of life around here and around the state.
Yeah, and show people places that they, number one, may not know exist, and then once they see it, they may decide to go there, and it's like Pocahontas or somewhere like that, this little coal mine town out in the far southwest. You actually have to drive into West Virginia to get to Pocahontas. What was it? But there's another road that you can tell that story.
Oh,
we're going to take, look like a shortcut on the map.
It looked good on the map. I forgot what color it was on the map. It might have been gray or something. I said, well, I think we can do that. This is a straight shot to Pocahontas. So we turned the corner and went up by this house. I noticed this lady was sitting on the porch rocking, and she was looking at us as I think she waved as we went on up the road. And we went about, I don't know, a mile, and the road turned to gravel, and then it turned narrow, and then it went uphill, and we decided.
It's like no guardrail. Just gravel. Up the side of a mountain.
And Bob's car wasn't going to make it.
I'm like, this Ford Focus ain't going to do it.
So we turned around and come back down, and we stopped. And the lady was still on the porch, so we stopped to ask directions. And she said, I wondered when you'd be back.
So you can get there on that road, but you don't want to do it.
You're listening to Bob Brown, who is a photographer at the Times-Dispatch, Bill Lohman, who is a wonderful reporter and feature writer at the Times-Dispatch. If I were to drive down Route 11, what should I stop and see? Some places that really took you by surprise, perhaps.
Well, the one thing, and I'll let Bob talk more, because he grew up off Route 11 down there in Lexington, but the thing that struck me is the number of great little towns all along the road. I'd say particularly more, a little bit more in the north, just because of the lay of the land, but they were all sort of stagecoach stops a century ago, so they're all about 10 or 12 miles apart.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're wonderful little towns. You got Strasburg and Newmarket and places like that. And I would suggest just getting out there and exploring a little bit and seeing what you see.
Yeah, just take a week and drive down the road. Initially, when we pitched doing the Route 11 series, we wanted to do 11 on 11, 11 stories on Route 11. Well, they said, no, you really can't do that. But you can do three segments. Upper Valley, Middle Valley, Lower Valley. So that's what we did. And so we packed a lot. I mean, I don't know how he crammed all the information we got into as short a story as we ended up with, because there's just so much there and so much that we just had to skim over. But if you take a week or whatever and just drive down and just spend your time visiting these little shops and places like that. I mean, it's just so cool.
I was amazed. There are many Mennonite who have settled in the valley, and their descendants still there, still practicing.
Yeah, a lot up around the Harrisonburg area. I mean, you talk about good pies and good bread and stuff like that, man.
Oh. What are you, a chow hound?
And then, you get down a little lower in the valley and you get into the spring water that, is good too.
Well, now you're talking about the intersection of 1158 and every county.
You know,
11 stories on 11 is very dangerous because they might want 58 stories on Route 58.
We almost did it.
I was driving down Route 11, and I saw this foamhenge thing.
Our buddy, Mark Klein. He's this artist with, I describe him as kind of a weird, mad scientist, and with a great sense of humor. And he's done a lot of kind of odd sculptures and a lot of serious sculptures. And he did this as an April Fool's joke. I think it was 2004. He built a replica of Stonehenge on a hilltop between Natural Bridge and Lexington, and it looks just like Stonehenge, but he built it out of styrofoam, so he called it Foamhenge, and it's still there. And now he said it's starting to need some repairs because the gray paint's starting to chip and fade. But I told him it looks like the real thing now.
It's set up. It's oriented to the sun the way the original one. I mean, the whole thing.
It's great.
Full size.
Mark Klein has a kind of a haunted house up there near Natural Bridge.
That's right. That's right. And his studio is right on Route 11 too.
And he does tours of the Stonewall Jackson Cemetery at night.
Ghost tours.
Yeah, ghost tours.
He's a character.
He sent us a picture. There's some sort of Labor Day festival up there, and he was on a unicycle blindfolded,
shirtless,
and rode that sucker through a ring of fire while Johnny Cash's song was playing in the background. He went 105 feet and broke his old record.
I sent him an email telling him he's crazier than we are.
How did you find him?
Well, he's fairly well known out there, and because he's right on 11, we made it a point to go see him because I thought he could add something, and he could.
Yeah,
and he said he's got stuff all in. He's got stuff in museums and restaurants and schools all up and down 11. And he said 11 is kind of his canvas, and I thought that was a great line.
We were in Marion. We did a couple of stories in that area, and so we're at a restaurant there in the middle of town. And they had a couple of, like a pterodactyl hanging from the ceiling and a T-Rex head coming out of the wall. And I said, it looks like Klein stuff. And we called him up. Yeah, that's about
it.
He wanted to have stuff all up and down Route 11. He's working on it. I mean, he's getting there. But, you know, you drive down 11 and it's hard to miss because you see this big fence. And here's a dinosaur's head coming over it and, a velociraptor sitting on top of a pickup truck and stuff like that. And you go in, it's just...
Yeah, that's his workshop. It's kind of hard to miss.
It's good.
I had the pleasure of meeting Mark Klein recently. We were both judges for a contest for magicians.
Ah.
And he did marvelous imitations of popular people.
Barney Fife. Did he do Barney Fife for you? Outstanding.
Yeah.
I wish I had it on recording because he did it when I wasn't ready.
Yeah, that was, he's good.
You meet great people like this.
Yes.
Route 11, it's also going down the valley, Interstate 81. Now, you know, on an interstate, you don't see anything. You're going at 70 or 80 miles an hour. You can't slow down to even see what might be on the side.
Not if you're smart.
Exactly so. It's almost a case for not going on an interstate.
It's very much a case. The only thing is if you have to be somewhere at a certain time, you got to do the interstate. But, boy, it is such an unpleasant way to travel. And 11, because so much of 11 is within sight of 81. I mean, it not only parallels it, but you can see it. And we're there, and often... There was nobody on 11 at all but us as far as we could see in front or behind us. And you're looking at 81 and it's jammed and there's trucks and they're flying by. And we a couple times I looked at Bob and I said, I wonder if those people know what they're missing over here. Because we're just sort of meandering down this road.
Yeah.
But, of course, they're going a lot faster than we are and getting where they need to be, I guess. But
we're seeing a whole lot more.
It's a lot more civilized to go down 11. And you're right, you miss all kinds of things. You don't see Buchanan and towns like that because you see the exit for it, but you can't see Buchanan from 81 and towns like that.
You don't see the Dip Dog.
The Dip Dog hot dog stand.
Hot dog stand. Right. Yeah.
That's in Withville?
No, it's in Marion.
Marion, right outside of Marion,
And Marion is the only place we found. I mean, I think there's another place in the state that does this, but they make legal moonshine.
Legal moonshine.
A couple that doesn't drink make this stuff. And they were... They're sort of environmentalists, and they were trying to make some ethanol.
As an alternative fuel.
As an alternative fuel. And so some of their friends came over and saw it and actually tasted it and said, you ought to be selling this stuff. And sure enough, they're selling it now.
And it's in some ABC stores around the state, and they have a permit to do that.
Yeah.
And it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it really is.
Bill Lohman and Bob Brown have written a book. They've written books and essays, their most recent one, Backroads, People, Places, and Pies Around Virginia. On the interstate, you can't even smell the pies.
No.
You don't know what lures you off the interstate. Getting away from Route 11 and 58, what other places around the Commonwealth have kind of taken you, like Tangiers? Most people have not been to Tangier. They may not be able to visit in 50 years.
Yeah, Tangier, right. Eastern Shore. Tangier is in trouble because of erosion and rising sea levels. And I talked to a scientist the other year, and he said probably within 50 to 100 years, it very likely, if things continue, that it very likely won't be there because there are other islands in the bay that have already disappeared that were just lower than Tangier. And, you know, it's with the sea level. I mean, the land on Tangier is a foot above sea level in the middle or something like that. So.
Yeah.
And what a way of life. And you could look at it and say, well, you know, nature's taken its course and it's, you know, not meant to be there. But if you live there and your families have been there for hundreds of years, you'd have a whole different viewpoint of the importance of the island and the significance of trying to do something, whatever that might be.
Those folks are tough, man. They'll ride out a hurricane or whatever.
It's been settled for at least 400 years.
Yeah. Well, John Smith kind of stumbled on it when he went exploring the bay, and people had been living there since, you know, within 100 years after that, I guess.
Other places around Virginia other than 11 and 58 and...
Yeah, I mean,
that you might recommend.
We sort of gravitate to the non-urban areas, but I mean the stretch. I guess it's U.S. Highway 15 that runs up through Culpeper and Orange and up to Manassas and that area. Well, I wouldn't go much farther than Manassas, but that is a gorgeous area up there. I mean, we just sort of go for the unpopulated areas
and down 460. Tazewell, and there's a place called Burke's Garden, which is, what is it, 6 miles by 3 miles?
Yeah, it's a big valley. God's thumbprint, they call it.
And what happened, there was a huge mountain there, and the middle of the mountain evidently collapsed and created this bowl. It looks like a volcano from the air, but created this fertile valley, and there's like two ways in. One of them's a fire trail, which you really don't want to go on, and the other one, the main road. And it comes to, you know, it's just a loop road around the valley. And, what, 300 people live there?
Maybe 300. Yeah.
I mean, the phone book is one page.
And they have, when you come down the valley, they have a signpost on the road that has everybody's name on a board and where they live and how far it is to their house.
Like the Angles Farm, you know, 2.6 miles this way. You know, church this way. And there's a guy that raises camels there.
In Burke's Garden.
Yeah.
In Burke's Garden.
The Bactrian camels, the two-hump camels, which are you find them in Asia more than you find them in North America. But he likes them, so he raises them, and there they are.
Successfully,
as far as I know, in Burke's Garden in deep southwest Virginia. Who would have figured that?
Who would have figured that? And one of the best restaurants in the state is down there, Cuz's.
Go on.
We drove past it for years without stopping there because it looks like an old barn.
Well, it is an old barn.
It's an old barn, old dairy barn with graffiti written all over it and brightly painted. And we figured, that's a weird-looking place. And somebody recommended it. We went there, and it's like, holy mackerel. I mean, they have their steaks flown in from Omaha. They have seafood from Hawaii. And we were there one night and had oysters from Boston. And, I mean, it's just incredible. Mike and Yvonne run that place, and they have two cabins up on the hill overlooking the place, and you can stay there, and they'll bring you breakfast in the morning. I mean, it's just incredible.
And the newspaper pays you to do these.
Don't tell anybody.
But you know, one thing that people, and it's a misconception, people think that we're on the road all the time, and unfortunately, we're not. we cram a lot into like 2 and 3 day trips, and we only go out once every few months, pretty much usually. Yeah. So it's not. We offer the perception that we're out there a lot doing stuff, but we're not really on the road all that much. We just do a lot when we're out there.
Yeah, if we were, the wives would have changed the locks a long time ago.
But the essays make Virginia come alive, make the people come alive. Your latest book, Backroads, People, Places, and Pies Around Virginia, it is available. So by all means, either put in a reservation or take a look at it. Bill Lohman, who's a feature writer and a reporter for the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Bob Brown, friend of many long years, great photographer at the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Thank you both for being here.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Virginia Voice and Discovering Virginia. For the Virginia Voice, I'm Lou Dean.